So one of the great deceptions in our day, I find, is thinking that Bible knowledge is spirituality. It's one of the greatest deceptions of our time. If Bible knowledge could make people spiritual, we should be having the holiest people that ever lived in the time of the Christian era in our day. We know the Bible better than Peter, James, and John, because we got printed Bibles which they never had. It's a great deception that knowledge makes us spiritual. And the other great deception is thinking that being excited about Christianity and about the things of the Lord makes us better than those who are dry, dead intellectuals. That's another mistake. So you find in Christendom, as I've looked around, there are those who major on intellectual knowledge of the Word, understanding it, and imagining that that is, and they've got it all accurately. It's not defective knowledge, it's correct knowledge. And thinking that understanding justification means you're justified, or understanding about victory means you got victory. And there are people who react against that and say, that's all dead knowledge. And they swing to the other extreme and say, the important thing is to be excited. And they draw the example of people who are excited in a football game and how they yell and scream when their team has won. And they, don't you think we should be like that when we know about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And they yell and scream and get excited, especially in their singing. And they think that's spirituality. But both are in a deception. There are three parts to our personality: our intellect, our emotions, and our will. And I want to say that God is after our will being yielded. And that's what He comes to, you know. You can understand and you can be excited and you can still be on the Broadway. And that's where He speaks about the false prophets, verse 15, who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And even the preachers, they also haven't understood this way of where the will is denied. You know, man will fight everything. Our human nature will fight everything, provided we don't have to deny our will. I'm willing to accept anything that Christianity or any other religion preaches, so long as I don't have to deny my will. And we see that in children. The thing that they are unwilling to give up is their will, their stubborn will, inwardly. I'm reminded of that story I often quote about the little boy who, his dad said, sit down. And he said, I won't sit down. And then dad takes a stick and the boy sits down and he says, Dad, inwardly I'm still standing up. The question is, how do you get that inward person to sit down? This is the stubbornness in a child, and it doesn't go away from us when we are grown up. We think that spirituality is knowledge and emotion. And then he speaks further down in verse 21 about mind, our intellect, our emotion, and our will. You see that in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. When a person says Lord to Jesus, you know he's got his intellect right, his mind is right, Jesus Christ is Lord. When he says, Lord, Lord, it means he's even excited. His emotions are also stirred by the fact that Jesus is Lord. But what does he not do? He doesn't yield his will. He doesn't deny his will to do the will of the Father. And this is where we need to, if you really want to see how spiritual you are, never, never evaluate yourself by how well you know the Bible, The scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' time knew it very well. How well you can explain it, it only means you've got a very good mind that can understand, analyze, explain, and secretly you can be proud of it, that I really know the Bible. Or there are others who, as I said, don't just say Lord, they say Lord, Lord. They're excited, and they're of the emotional type who think that that is the, in fact, one of the great deceptions of our day is to confuse emotion for the moving of the Holy Spirit. They think that in a quiet meeting where nobody's emotional, nobody's excited, nobody's raising their hands, the Spirit is not moving. And they think, on the other hand, where everybody's excited and lifting their hands and shouting and praising and saying hallelujah and all, this must be the Holy Spirit. This is the deception in Christendom today. True spirituality. You can be quiet or you can be emotional. If you deny your will in daily life, you're spiritual. Otherwise, you're not. That's why I often say, when people ask me, what's the difference, Brother Zach, between your church and other churches? I say the difference is that in other churches, Sunday is the important day. For us, Monday is the important day. And Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. In other words, if I'm denying my will, you see, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm not studying the Bible and shouting and praising God like I do on Sunday. On Monday, it's my will that matters. At home, in the different situations that arise, if I deny my will, it's not just what I said, Lord, Lord, on Sunday, but I want to do, verse 21, do the will of my Father in heaven. See, when we're sitting here in a Sunday service, there's not much opportunity to do the will of our Father, except listen to God's word, perhaps. But Monday onwards, we have a lot of opportunity to deny our will and to do the will of our Father. On Sunday, we are saying, Lord, Lord. So, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. The one who's got his intellect right and his emotions all excited, no. But the one who quietly does the will of my Father in heaven. Christians generally are impressed by someone who can expound scripture well, explain it well, preach well, or someone who is a great master of ceremonies on a Sunday morning, can stir everybody up to raise their voices and to say hallelujah and praise the Lord. Yeah, and God's not impressed with any of them. He's impressed with the person who you may not be impressed by, because maybe he's a quiet type of person. That's his personality. In God's church, there are people who are quiet by temperament and personality. They're shy, they are reserved, and generally speaking, people look down on them as not being spiritual. And then there are others who are very exuberant, and most Christians think they are the ones who are spiritual because they're very exuberant or they're very knowledgeable. But it's not our temperament that makes us spiritual. The shy person may be far more godly than the exuberant extrovert. I'm not saying that the quiet person is spiritual. No, what I'm saying is both are equal before God's eyes. The only thing that matters is, what do you do with your will? Do you deny it when you're tempted? When you're provoked? Do you deny your will? Say, I want to do the will of my Father here. I want to do what God wants me to do. And I can never do the will of God if I don't deny my own will. And he goes on to say, many will come to me in the final day and say, Lord, Lord, verse 22, we did all these other things. And, a lot of activity. He says, that's not the will of my Father. It was your attitude to sin that was important. When, he explains, doing the will of my Father, what is that? Verse 22. Is it prophesying in Jesus' name? Yeah, that may be part of the Father's will, sure. Is it casting out demons from people who are demon possessed? Yes, that's also part of the Father's will. Jesus did it. Or is it performing miracles perhaps? That could also be the Father's will. Jesus did it. But in spite of these people doing it, the Lord says to them, I don't know you. I never knew you. I never came into a personal relationship with you, because when it came to sin, you didn't give that up. So it's in the area of sin and holiness that the final judgment is going to determine whether the Lord's going to accept us or not, and whether we did the will of the Father in relation to sin and holiness, not in relation to miracles and preaching and singing and, attending services. We were just studying Isaiah chapter 1 a little while ago. And if you notice there, in that first chapter, the external things they did were according to Scripture, burnt offerings and sacrifices and Sabbaths. But it was all the ritual part. And the really practical part of caring for the widow and defending the helpless and the orphan, that they left out, is the easy part, is the ritual, more than real righteousness that even Christians are occupied with today. See, for example, what people call praise and worship and singing and reading the Bible and attending church, it's all the external ritual. And that's exactly how it was then. So, doing the will of God in relation to sin and holiness, that is the person who has chosen that and who seeks to do that every day, who's really walking the narrow way that leads to life. And very few find it.